Well, got your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We're going to continue and finish up on the lesson. Actually, I started last week and didn't get it finished. And I told you right after this we're going to start into a new series. And what we're going to be doing is for the next while, I don't know how long, we're going to be looking at the effects of man's thinking, church tradition, our colleges, our Christian colleges and everything, the effect that they have upon the Word of God. Now, we know the Word of God is constant. It don't change. But what happens is that men say things. Is that men teach and say things that affect us and affect our mind. And if we're not careful, if we're not staying in our Word and it's not staying in the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us in the Word, we'll start following, you know, men's teaching or tradition or whatever, and we can all fall prey to that. And I got several verses where we're going to show that, how that this happens. As a matter of fact, God said over in Romans chapter 1, he shows us a curse that happens to the Word of God when people are not obedient or don't believe like they should. And we'll probably read that portion of Scripture this morning. But we're going to start off, like I said, going over what we were speaking on last Sunday morning. In Revelations, beginning in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write," and there it is, that word of God, the written word of God. Everybody, you know, will tell you, and they believe, if they profess to be a Christian, they'll tell you, they believe that the word of God is right, 100%. But then you got to find out what they mean by that. They believe that every word that comes down from heaven is 100% right, but we don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? They'll tell you, "Oh, we don't have it. We got part of it. Part of it's been messed with. Part of it's been changed, man. You know, through over the years, you know, man, you know, transcribing it from one language to a different language. That there's so much stuff that's been lost." And that's all a bunch of phony baloney. God has promised not only that he gave us his word, but the promises is that he will keep his word. Amen. He said, from this generation and forever. And Jesus said, and anybody that believes that don't even realize it, but he's saying that Jesus is a liar. Because Jesus promised that neither a jot nor a tittle should no wise pass from the law till all these things be fulfilled. So Jesus has promised that his words shall continue, they'll be kept, they'll be preserved. We not only believe in that the Word of God has been given, we believe in the preservation of the Word of God. Now that's something you don't hear in most of your Bible colleges. They don't teach preservation. They'll teach that this is the Word of God. It was given to us, and the plenary Word of God that you can trust it. But a lot of them do not believe in the preservation. They've not been taught it. They don't accept it. They believe that the Word of God is been affected by man's, like I said, down through the ages, you know, bring it from one language to another language, and that a lot of stuff has been changed. And so you'll have these people, what they do then, they begin, instead of trusting in the book that's before them, which they take it and they judge it and correct it by scholarship. Or they got these theologians who have studied the history and you know, way back yonder when the word went from one language to a different language, You know, when it was in the, and they'll use terms in its original form. Well, nobody's ever seen the Bible in its original form. Thy word, O God, forever settled in heaven. So nobody's ever seen the word of God in its original form. Now the disciples saw the word of God in the living form in Christ Jesus. He was the word of God made flesh. But nobody has seen the word of God in its original form, which is in heaven. Which was in heaven when Jesus Christ, the word of God, when he was in heaven. Amen. Nobody has any time seen that, and yet they'll talk about in its original form. And what they're talking about is the you know, the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, the fact of the matter is, when the Word of God was being penned, a lot of that, there was no substantial Hebrew language at that time. There was. So it wasn't kept by pen. Even though we know that Moses had wrote down the law, you know, according to the language of that time, which was not Hebrew. There wasn't no set Hebrew language at that time. That came afterwards. And God preserved his word. He came when the word of God was penned, and when it moved through the ages, it was God Almighty who moved the pens of man and kept his word. You say, well, that's kind of hard to see. Man, your God's really small if that's hard for you to accept, that God could keep his word.
Up to the Bible, it was only one way.
Excuse me?
Up to the Bible, it was only one way.
Only one what?
Language.
One language.
Language.
Your Bible's been penned in dozens of languages.
No, I'm saying up until the,
yeah.
They were building the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Whenever God...
Well, yeah, but that was scattered, and God gave all kinds of language.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things about God that went all over the world about that time.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff was lost.
Yeah.
But God was in everybody knew who God was. But the Bible said, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But we have the written word of God, and we need to learn to trust that what God, this is the word that the Lord thy God hath given thee. And we need to learn to trust it and believe it completely and explicitly. But if you listen to the scholars, if you listen to a lot of these preachers and stuff, and they'll come out and they'll read, well, a better rendition would be. How can it be any better than right? It's either right or it ain't. So how's it going to get better than right? How's it going to get better than good? It's the good word of God that he's given us. And he has preserved it. Now, man has done a lot, and we know that over in the Garden of Eden, how Satan, when he used that serpent and spoke to him, to Eve, he said, "Hath God said?" You know? And he's always been trying to put a question on what God has said. I'm glad there is no question where God has put a period.
Amen?
Amen. Somebody said, well, how do you know that the Bible you have is right? God told me. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, but all these theologians and all these, you know, people that, great minds which have studied the Word and history, and they'll tell you that, I don't care what they say. They're men. They make mistakes. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct thy path.
Amen.
But, and he says right here, hey, if we can't believe that, then what? How can we even believe the first words we read in Revelation chapter 2? When he said, unto the angel of the church and Laodicea, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. These things he's getting ready to tell this man, how in the world is it that we know about it? I'll tell you how, you picked up that book and you read it. God didn't appear to you in a vision and say, here's what I said to them. You know? But hopefully God appeared in your heart and said, this is what I said. This is my words. I hope that you got that confidence in you. You got that Spirit of God teaching you, this is what God has said. There are several things. When after I first got saved, I was in a church. They used many versions of the Word of God. I'd go to Bible studies, and the people would get up, and they'd read something, and I'd be looking, and I'd say, where'd it at? I'd be trying to find it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, I said, they didn't read this in it at all. You know why? They took it out. It wasn't in there. 10% of the Bible is missing out of the NIV. Practically 10% of the words have been removed from the NIV. You know why they did that? They couldn't find it in the existing letters. Sorry. When they mean the existing letters, they mean the ancient manuscripts. What are they trusting? They trusting papyrus? Are they trusting animal skins? Are they trusting pages? Or are they trusting the God who keeps His Word of God? Keeps the Word. Look, could you imagine? Let's say 1,000 years from today, and let's say there was a huge world war, and God still ain't took us out. You know what I'm saying? We're still here. Just imagine 1,000 years from that. Boy, I mean, they use nukes and everything else. Huh? Whole cities burn up. Everything in total chaos. All the modern stuff gone. You know what I'm saying? Down to what people would have called the Dark Ages. Books and stuff burned and, you know, obliterated. You know, we're going away from books now anyway. All stuff's going on the internet. But could you imagine? Okay, you want to go dig up, and you want to dig up just all you got is pages here and pages there, and you know what I'm saying? Of what men had to say about God and Jesus, His Son, and the church. And next thing, when you join this, you know, it's been 1,000 years down the road, and boy, I mean, you know, the whole idea of being Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, all that kind of stuff just about disappeared, so to speak, you know? Went through a dark age of time. Just like what happened during the Dark Ages. So they pulling up all this stuff. And here's some stuff that the Jehovah's Witnesses said. Here's some stuff that the Church of the Latter-day Saintness, Latter-day Saints said. And you got this stuff that the Campbellites had to say and wrote about the Word of God. And you got all these, all these extinct letters that they've been able to, they pulled up all this material. Could you imagine trying to put together a King James Bible with that mess? Would it be correct? So is that what we want to trust? Think about it. That the majority of Christendom, that's what they trust in. All this stuff that came. Look, and there was all kinds of cults from the time of Christ till now. Right? And all kinds of stuff. All kinds of letters. Man, I can go out to a Bible bookstore and I can buy you a book. It's this thick. And it's, you know what it's called? The Forgotten Books of the Bible. And it reads like mythology. But this is the word thy God hath given thee. That's something that's got to be settled, not by, you can't study it out. I tried that at one time. Because I was hearing so many people saying different things. And I tried that one time. I tried to study it out. I, Independent Baptist taught on it. It didn't prove nothing. I can take you back in the history and show you, you know, how this book leapt from this book, but this book leapt from this book, and how it came up into this modern time, but it still cannot prove that it is the Word of God. There's only one thing that can do that. Who is this going to lead you into all truth? The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And He can show you, and He can guide you, and He can teach you. And I'm going to tell you, when I started all that stuff, man, the Holy Spirit has spoke volumes to my heart about, what are you going to trust? You going to trust them? You going to trust what they say? Or are you going to trust what I say? That's exactly right. Absolutely not. And I don't care who's saying it.
Amen.
I don't care if you're the Independent Baptist or Luther. Luther might be closer than what the Independent Baptist is saying on some things. I don't know. But I do know whose word is correct, and I can believe it. Because he said right here, right. It's written. It's been kept. It's been preserved. I have it right here in front of me. And here's what he said. He that wrote this, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and found them liars. And boy, they're all around us today. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, repent, go do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place. Now, I mentioned last week, now, if we're not careful, if we do leave that first love, and we kind of looked at some things that was the first love, the first works. The first, what God did in you. You did the works that you did because of your love for Him.
Amen.
The first love. See, until Jesus Christ comes to your life, you don't know how to love. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. Oh, you might have fondness, you might have romance, you might have all kinds of feelings that's tied up, but real love comes from one place, and that's from God. That's real love.
Amen.
And that real love is a constant. It will keep you on course at all times. It's the greatest, according to the Bible, it's the greatest power that's on this earth. Is love. Love changes everything. Love took us from law to grace. Love brought us from death into life. It was the love of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just like our preacher said. Even though it's the love of God that provided us with salvation, it's going to have to take some fear of God for man to come to Christ.
Amen.
The kind of fear. God don't have to be afraid of anything. It don't have to be, and perfect love casteth out all fear. But you gotta come to that point one day that you realize you need God. And you'll have a little bit of fear about you over that.
Amen.
After that love enters into your heart, it changes everything about you. It casts out the fear, gives you faith, gives you strength, the work to make a difference in this world, in your family, in your own personal life, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, and a church that is without love is nothing. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. Whatever it does, it will not last. Because it's the love of God that makes that difference. He says, remember, therefore, once thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now, the love of God will never leave you. It's always there. But you cannot practice it. You can follow after selfish motives. You can get involved in all kinds of things. But that love is still there. It'll never leave you. Because Christ ain't going nowhere. But if we're not careful, we can do just like they did. You get so busy doing stuff. And you get your mind... you know what it means to leave your first love? It means you've left the will and the mind of God to go about to do and establish your own will and do what you want to do. And we mentioned that thing. If you follow this through, you get down to the last church, and what you have, the church of the land of the sin, it's the church of the people. They're doing what they want. And I mentioned I had a preacher right after I first got saved, Methodist preacher, said something I'll never forget and never will forget it, and I know it won't. God burned it into my mind. He said, you'll have exactly the kind of church that you want. If you want a church that God is in charge and control of, and you set your heart and your mind on Him, and then you'll have that kind of church. He said, but if you want the kind of church that favors the things that you desire and want to do, He said, you'll have that kind of church as well. And then you know what you got? You just got a church of the people, a country club, with no power. Nothing being done for God, all being done for self and for man. And we're encouraged over and over and over again to let the mind of Christ be in us, that we're to be subject and submissive to this word right here, always doing. Now he said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, if you look that word up, and what its meaning basically is Nicole means to conquer, and laity is the people. Okay? And the way that they wanted to do this is they wanted to set up a priesthood and make man subject to the priest. They got it, didn't they? They got it. It exists today.
Amen.
It's called the Roman Catholic Church. And that ain't the only one. There's another one. So, but I'll tell you right now, too, buddy, you better watch out. Them suckers are right here in the Independent Baptist churches, too. They will have you to look at the pastor up here as being more than a man. He is the man of God. That ain't what God wants. God placed him in here to be a servant. And we're to follow after his example. We are to have that desire to follow him as he follows Christ. There's only one head in here, and that's God himself. He's the head of the body. He's the head of this church. And any pastor doesn't realize that, and he sets up to have his church, and that's what he'll have. Man, I know of a church right now. He was so into running and controlling everything. He wouldn't have no deacons. He wouldn't have. I mean, he just didn't trust nobody. He was doing it all himself. Didn't have no soul winner. Didn't have nothing. He did it all himself. That ain't what God wants. God wants him to train us to do the work of the ministry. Whose ministry? Christ's ministry. Now I've heard them say, now I've heard preachers get up here and say, and that's what this is. This is Nicolaitan teaching. That he said, we need to get behind the man of God because this is his ministry. No, it's not. It's Christ's ministry. And we have been made all able ministers. We're all able to minister together. And our pastor can't do it all himself. We're to hold him up and help him and follow him.
Amen.
And each other as well.
Amen.
And if we love him like we ought to, and he loves us like he ought to, there's no big eyes, no little U's, we're all level at the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I hear that come out of the mouth of our pastor all the time. I I got a lot of respect for him because of that.
Amen.
I know a lot of other men that are good preachers, powerful preachers, and they have a great ministry, a lot of them, and it is their ministry. And they're making an effect. What happens to the church when they die? We've seen it. Church goes pop, fall to pieces. People come in there and don't believe what they believe, even though they said that they did. And guess what? People have been trained to do what? Follow him.
Follow him.
Yeah, we following him. We're following him only. It's a frightening thing, and that's what I want to look at for the next while, is how this Word of God, how we, if we're not careful, we can let men shape what we believe about what this Word says. We can let our own opinions face, you know? That's the reason why we need to be subject to one another. That's the reason why, hey, I want things to be open in here. If I say something you think is that, you know, on the wrong side, I want you to say something to me. I want you to say something to me. Let's go look in the book and try to find out. You know? Yeah, I think this is important. We all have that kind of attitude. Hey, that I haven't arrived. I hadn't figured it out yet. I want God to keep on showing me and growing me and trust the Spirit of God. And he warns them about these Nicolaitans down here. And he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We looked at James, how this, about this faith, this first faith, and this love. Look in James chapter 1. I want to look at something. Well, I didn't really get to look at that a whole lot. James 1 and verses 26. I said chapter 1. It's chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, he said right here, do the first works. And James right here is referring to works. These are the works that the Holy Spirit produces in us through the faith of the Son of God. The first works would be the things that Jesus did. For we are his ministry. He begins to work in us. You remember how when you first got saved, you was hungry for this Bible, and you did what? You studied. And you read. And you studied. As newborn babies desiring the sincere milk of the Word, and you studied, and you read, and you prayed, and you read, and you studied. And you know what happened as you did that? You found out some things that God wanted you to do. You know, like talk to other people, like to be a witness, you know. And so what did you do? You tried to be a witness. You tried to talk to people. You tried to let them know what God had done for you. Did like Brother Rick said, he went to work. I did the very same thing. The very same thing happened to me. I went to work. Hey, one Saturday in my living room, I cried out to God. Nobody told me. I just knew that something had happened. I went to work on Monday morning, and I began to tell everybody, I got saved. I first went to believers. I first went to believers because I knew that they would be appreciative of it. And I'll never forget what one fellow said to me. He said, why did somebody take you down to Romans Road? I said, the what? I didn't know what the Romans Road was. He said, is that that book? I said, is that road over there where Apostle Paul was walking down in the light, you know, shining so bright and knocked him off his feet? And he said, no, it's over in the book of Romans. I said, oh. I said, well, I read the book of Romans this past weekend. I said, but I'll go back over and look at that again. I didn't know what a Romans road was. That's just something that man had come up with later to help lead people to the Lord, you know. But anyway, all I knew is I got saved and I began to let everybody know. And since then, I've done the same thing. There ain't ever been a company that wasn't, everybody I come in contact knew where I stood about the Lord Jesus. I gave testimony about this as a young woman I wanted to witness to. I was waiting for God, and she came up to me the other week and said that, well, so I'm getting out of this prison today. It's the last day. I said, well, I told her, I said, well, I hope everything worked out for you. And I told her, I said, well, let me talk to you about something. I began to tell her, I said, you know, one day you're going to die. It don't matter about your church going or anything else. But what about when you die? It all depends on what you've done with Jesus, whether you believed on him, whether you accepted him or not. Lord, give me that opportunity.
Amen.
I was praying about it. I don't believe I could have told her a better thing, because that's what, well, I'm going to face it one day.
You're absolutely right.
We want to die. After that, the judgment. We need to know what we've done with Christ. She didn't know, need to know what the Baptists say, or the Lutherans say, or the Methodists say. She needed to know that she needed the Lord. And that's what we need to let people know, that it's the Lord that they need. I tell you what, over the years, I sold a bunch of vacuum cleaners. I'd take them down that Rome's road, and you know, I tell them, I said, you want to be saved, don't you? They say, yeah. I said, just call on the Lord. So a lot of them wasn't ready. A lot of them did the same thing I did before. I got saved.
Repeated by the words.
Yeah, I just did. I believe what the man said. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that my whole life. I've heard that my whole life. And I believe he did it for me. But I didn't understand it. Don't you remember when you got to understanding? Didn't nothing change about what had happened. All of a sudden now you understood it. That it was for me. He took my death. And by a miracle I can't understand. You know, that's what saves my soul. When I put my trust, when I wanted him. And I'm telling you what, everything changes after that. And I know I led a bunch of them down there and had them pray the prayer. And I know some of them got saved, some of them didn't get saved. But God knows. One thing about it, they can't say that they at least didn't get an opportunity. And, you know, God's working everything out. God knows them that are his, and God will take every word that we speak. It will not return void. I'm not out to criticize the way anybody tries to reach out. If they're trying to reach out, praise God. Amen. Let's don't be in the business of counting heads. You know what I'm saying? Let's be in the business of just doing the work. And let God give the increase. Just, it's always good when, you know, you get that person, they say yes, and then they show up to church, you see them grow and stick in there. You know? I've had that happen a few times. Not a whole lot. Some of them, they might come, and after that, you couldn't find them with a microscope. Well, James 1:26, he says, faith without works is dead, being alone. And look over here in verse 2, begin verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, respect of persons. For if come to you assembly, a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, and vile raiment, you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit thou under my footstool. And be ye not then partial in yourselves, or become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? For ye have despised the poor, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Think about it. Who's running this world? Is it the poor? Is the poor running this world? No, it's the rich. and rich. If you look at the way things is going in our country and in our nations, the rich who are controlling everything, they seem that in. I mean, they really want to promote the gospel, right? Get people saved, huh? Right? No, they could care less. Matter of fact, they want to shut it out of our schools. They want to shut it out of our schools. He said, "Do they not oppress you?" I'm glad for every saved person that's rich, because the more they have, the more they can do for God, because they've got money. But I'm going to tell you what, God can take a man who ain't got a thing and do just as much with him as he can with a man that's got a lot of money.
Amen.
We just need to believe God and let God have his way. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, or convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offendeth in one point, he is guilty of all. For he said, do not commit adultery. He said also, do not kill. And if thou commit no adultery, but yet if you kill, you'll become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and has showed no mercy, and mercy without judgment. What saith it? Prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one say unto them, depart in peace, be warm filled notwithstanding, you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He said, you can say to a person, oh, be warm, be filled, but you don't give them no clothes, you don't give them no blankets, you don't give them no food, they're still going to be hungry. It don't matter how much you have faith. It ain't going to fill up their stomach. Now let me tell you, think about this. Jesus, it was the faith of the Son of God which saved our soul. He knew that if he died on the cross for our sins, that would deliver us from the pain of sin and death. Now he had faith to go to the cross. But what if he hadn't went? Would his faith have saved us? It would have been dead. It would have been fruitless, and nothing would have happened. That's the reason why it is so important to realize, people, if we claim that God has given us faith to do the work of God, that we do the work of God. That we do the work of God. Put some shoes. Real faith got shoes on.
Amen.
Real faith does something. It'll do something in us. It'll do something in this world. It makes a difference. That's the reason why we can, the prayers, them righteous prayers of a man that's faithful, huh? Wow, he's full of faith. He's doing what his faith compels him to do, which is go out there, reach sinners, feed those that are hungry, clothe those that are naked. Hey, it does good once in a while somebody to see the gospel, and not just hear it. Find people that have needs. Find a need and meet that need. And the whole time, you tell them the reason why you're doing it. You think? Because God loves you. And his love has been bestowed in my heart. It's easy to say we love people, but you ain't saying it, don't make it so.
Amen.
Doing it's what makes it so. Love, it's got kind of a verb attached to it, you know what I mean? It's something we do. It's also a noun. It's something that we are. And if we are love, God is love. He's in us. And if we are love, love's going to have its effect. It's like your heartbeat. Amen? Pushes that blood through us. Same way love in us will produce works. First love, then works. First faith, then love. Because you see, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you had love. In 1 Corinthians 13, in chapter 13, you find the word faith, hope, and charity. Now, we have the word of God there. It's described there. The if I have all knowledge, a word of knowledge, if I have all faith, that's the faith. The faith, the word of God, the doctrine. And you knew everything. The Bible said, though I could speak with the tongues of men and angels and could understand and had all prophecy and understand everything that's in this Bible, he said, but I have not love. He said, then it's of nothing. It's vanity. It will accomplish nothing. So what you have here, you have the word of God. Then you have faith, hope, and charity, and then works. Because he talked about works without love. The word, which is Christ in us, which teaches us that word, that produces faith, hope, and charity. Then works. Then works. He tried to put work first. It don't accomplish anything. You know? But when you follow that word, which produces in us faith, hope, charity, then that'll produce works.
Yeah.
We're working because of that blessed hope. Amen.
Amen.
That soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're working because of the faith of the Son of God, which works in us. It says that, hey, there's hope. There's a way. Jesus Christ has produced that way. And we do it because he first loved us. You know? We know that he did the works to save us. Now we're willing to let him work through us to reach out to save others. We need to tell people about that work that he's done to save us. We need to tell him about that love that produced that work. And we need to tell him about that, the faith of the Son of God. Look into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 10. Beginning in verse 29. Conscience I say, not mine own, but of the other. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace be partakers, why am I evil spoken of that which I give thanks? Wherefore, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. He wants us, according to these verses right here, that whatever we do, what do? We do it to the glory of God. Now, that's looking back. I'm going to look back to them first works. So, we know that what we're to do, these first works, these things that glorify God. Now, there are certain things you can't do to glorify God. You know what I mean? You can't go bar hopping to the glory of God. You know? Can't drink liquor to the glory of God. It just, I mean, that's a real dividing line there, that glory of God. You know? You can't go soul winning for your own glory and it be for the glory of God. There's a lot of people that go out and soul winning because they want to be noticed. You know? They want to come in a count, a head count. I've seen this over the years. You know? It's just push, push, push. And I know my daughter told me that when she was at a certain school, I'm not going to say where it was at, that if when they went on visitation and they didn't come back with souls on their register that called on the Lord for salvation, they got demerits. Mm-hmm.
somebody. Hey, sir, my name's Dave West. What's your name? And he gives you a name. You got an address. You write it down. Walk back and say, there were some people at a church I was at when I was away from here. This family came in. They went out. This guy, all he did was walk around and get people's names and brought them back. He'd have been doing a whole lot more if he had just got the Word of God to him. God take care of the increase. That's the problem with counting heads sometimes. God, find it in this book. Find it anywhere in this book where God has told us to count heads. Well, I'm going to have to close now. And I pretty much got about everything covered on where I was going right at. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, and I want to look where we're going to jump off of next week. Think about it, about being a witness. God has told us just go out, take the word, be instant in season, give the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation. And let God give the increase, because he's the only Savior. He can't save nobody. I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's the first thing I want to look at. Hey, a lot of men hold this truth in unrighteous vessels. They don't believe it, but they hold it, and they teach it. And they do all kinds of things. But take note of that. Think about that. And maybe you get a chance, you might study over that a little bit. Hold the truth and the righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, a lot of versions, when you read that, they said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Or they said some versions say, and they withheld, or they withstood, or they know what they, and what they were doing were showing. These were people who had took a stand against the King James Bible, saying that those who had written the King James Bible had taken and withheld the truth, and so turning this Bible in here into a lie. A lot of people taking that position. So,
and why these people have made these statements, and kind of get our own minds settled firmly upon this word. Well, Brother Larry, will you dismiss this word of prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for another day and the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Father. Father, we thank you for your word and help us, Father, to take and